sweeter than the day, sweeter than the day before. So watch me.
Let's go get it.
Let's go. Let's go.
Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me, and he's the one I'm living for. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Let's go.
Sweeter than the day, sweeter than the day before. Now I want you to greet your neighbor and tell them that every day with Jesus gets sweeter than the day before.
Thank you.
so confused. I know you hear me loud and clear, so I follow through. Somehow I ended up here. I don't wanna think, I may never understand that my broken heart is part of your plan. When I try to pray, all I've got is hurt and these four words: Thy will be done, Thy will be done, Thy will be done. I know you're things I could never think about. It's hard to count it all a joy, distracted by the noise, just trying to make sense of all your promises. Sometimes I gotta stop, remember that you're God and I am not. Thy will be done, Thy
That was a beautiful song. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 13.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. His will be done. You know that, right? His will is going to always be done. Sometimes when we're living outside of His will, that's a painful thing, isn't it? But when we're in His will, that's always going to be a great thing and a blessed thing. And I hope and pray that you're living inside of God's will, because if you're not and you're a child of His, guess what? He's going to get you back there. Amen.
Amen.
And you can do it the easy way or you can do it the hard way. Trust me, I've been down both paths before. I prefer the easy way and staying in His will. Amen.
Amen.
That's what I prefer. How many of you are glad to be in God's house today?
Amen.
Amen. I am so glad to be able to get up here. You don't realize what an honor and a privilege it is to be up here and bring God's word every week and to be able to share what God's put on my heart. And we're going to continue in our series entitled The Parables of Jesus. Who remembers what the first parable was we talked about? I'm giving you a little quiz here today.
The seed and the sower.
All right, we're talking about the parable of the sower a couple of weeks ago. We had our youth service last week. Our youth did a great job. And today we're going to talk about another parable. And I want you to listen very careful to this parable, because this parable is very, very important here. Not that the parable of the sower isn't, because we all need to be sowers, right?
Amen.
We've all got to sow, but I want you to understand this parable here is one that influences us each and every day. This is entitled The Parable of the Wheat and the Tares. I'm going to ask those of you that can, if you will, stand to your feet. We're going to be reading out of Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 24. We're going to read verse 24 through verse 30. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Father God, I just ask now your blessings on the reading of your word. Father, empty myself of me the next few minutes. Let it all be about you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Guys, I want us to understand a few things before we start today. I want you to understand a little bit of terminology here. First of all, we're all sowers of the word. The sowers represent Christ and Christ's followers. We're all called to be sowers of the word, right? As I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, sometimes we get caught up in not seeing things happen as fast as we would like and people's lives not changing the way we'd like to see them change. But guys, we got to understand our job is to sow. Our job is not to grow. That is God's job. God does the growing. We do the sowing. God has to do everything else. You see, before anybody can grow in Christ, God's got to work in their life. Before they're going to change, God's got to work in their life. And if he hasn't had time to work things out and get things right, then guess what? We're going to get frustrated. You know what one of the hardest things for me to do is to just stay on God's timetable. How many of you have that problem? Raise your hand. Man, we want things done right then. We want to see change in people's lives. We want to see people's lives get better. But God's always got a plan, amen? Amen. God's always got a plan, and his plan is always the right plan, and we got to understand that his timetable is not ours. Our ways are not his ways are not ours. Thank God my ways aren't his, amen? Because I can tell you, that wouldn't be too good sometimes, amen? But guys, I want you to understand a few terms here. First of all, who is the enemy here? Satan, the devil. Been around since the beginning of time. And guess what? He isn't going anywhere until Jesus comes back again to take his children home. Isn't that going to be a great day? When the King of Kings comes back to rapture the church away, and those that are still alive will be caught up. But they won't go ahead of those that have already gone on to be with the Lord and are now in what we refer to as the intermediate heaven. Their new resurrected body will be joined together with their spirit, and that's going to be a great day. That's what we're working for. We're not working for what we can get here on this earth. We're working for that one day, and it's going to be a glorious day. So you see, the enemy is the devil. The wheat in this parable represents believers, born again believers in Jesus. The tares in this story represents the evil one, represents the sin and all the other stuff that entangles us and tries to overcome us if we're not careful. Those of you that are taking your notes today, we're gonna start this now. You know, the connection between the parable of the sower and of the wheat and tares is that the sower of good seed is still the same sower who went out to sow. Still the same one who went out to sow. But guys, what we're going to understand here is we're talking about good sowing versus evil sowing. And that's what I want you to understand. The same, the field is the same, the world. In the parable of the sower, the seed is called the word of the kingdom. That seed that we're sowing is called the word of the kingdom. I want to ask you a question here today. Are you sowing seed daily? Are you sowing seed weekly, monthly, yearly? Have you even sown any seed that you know of? Guys, I'm telling you what, if you're not sowing seed, you're outside of the will of God. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that, amen? If you believe that, say amen. If you are not sowing seed on a regular basis for the kingdom of heaven, you are outside the will of God. It is not God's will that we just simply accept Jesus as our Savior and sit there and do no sowing. We are to be sowers of the Word. We're to be doers of the Word as well as hearers of the Word. We're not to just sit back and just let everybody just pour into us and we never pour anything back. That's not the way God wants us to operate. So you see, we're all called to be sowers. In verse 38 of this same chapter, where the explanation to the disciples of what the wheat and tares parable is all about, the seed is called the sons of the kingdom. Since like produces like, it's reasonable for us to believe the word of the kingdom produces sons of the kingdom. You see, the fruit is always going to be according to the seed, isn't it? The fruit's always going to be according to the seed. You plant a squash seed, you're not going to end up with tomatoes. You plant cucumbers, you're not going to end up with okra. Your fruit is going to be in direct proportion to the kind of seed that you plant. What kind of seed are you planting? Are you planting good seed? Is it falling on fertile ground? Remember in the parable of the sower, it was all about the soil in order for that seed to germinate, right? That isn't the way it is in this parable. It doesn't matter what kind of ground it is. You know why? The devil can penetrate any surface. The devil can get down into any ground. There is no stipulations. There is no talking about seed being thrown on the path and seed being thrown on rocky soil and seed being thrown on soil that had thorns and thistles. It just said, hey, these things sprang up. It didn't matter what kind of soil it is. Isn't that the way the devil is? He doesn't need any specific way for him to come in and try to manipulate you. He can do it at the drop of a hat. And he wants to do that. He's ready to do that at any given time. You know the sad thing, guys? I believe Satan's working on some of you right in this building right now. That's a hard truth to understand. Oh, preacher, we're inside the house of God. Don't think the devil ain't inside God's house. Amen, because he's inside some of your thoughts right now. Because let me tell you what some of you are doing right now. You're thinking about what you need to be doing next week. You're thinking about that person that's ticked you off and that person that's made you angry. And you're thinking about how you're going to get even with somebody. See, that's the devil. Yeah, the devil comes in the church house. Don't let me surprise you with that one. Amen. The devil is inside churches all across America right now today. And guess what? He's winning the battle. He's winning the battle. Are we going to let him continue to win? Why? He's already been defeated. He's a defeated foe. If you're glad about that, say praise God. Amen. He's defeated. Why do we keep letting him win? Why do we keep letting him win? Guys, the prominent theme in the parable of the wheat and tares is the work of the enemy, the devil. The devil's at work. While the sower was sowing good seed, the enemy under the cover of darkness was sowing his tares. You know, the devil always likes to sow his seed under the cover of darkness, doesn't he? Because he hates the light. That's why a lot of times a great amount of sin that occurs in this world occurs at what time of the day? At night, when it's dark. Now, there are some people that don't care if they sin in broad daylight or do all kind of ungodly things in broad daylight. But the majority of people, when this stuff happens, it's where? It's in darkness. You know why? Because the person at the root of it is the prince of darkness. He's the prince of darkness. That's why when you go out at night and you're going out with ungodly people and you're going out and hanging around people that you know don't know Jesus as their Savior, that is the playground of the devil right there. Why? Because darkness and darkness create what? Darkness, right? It's not going to get light. It's not going to be bright. So don't let your light get covered up by that darkness. You run. You flee from it. You stay away from it. That's what God's called us to do and what he's called us to be. He hasn't called us to be ugly to people. He's called us to be servants for him. Amen. He's called us to walk down the right path in life, not the wrong path in life. You see, the devil works in darkness. The devil's always lurking around, seeking out anybody who he can devour. You know, the Bible says he's roaming around like a roaring lion, just looking for anybody he can devour, right? He's the personification of perpetual motion. When I say perpetual motion, you know what that means? Guys, y'all know what that means. What's perpetual motion? Something that never stops moving. Yeah, God's children stop moving a lot of times, but guess what? The devil's still going. He's still moving. He's still running circles around us.
So that's why we cannot continue to sit down and idly watch as the devil moves in and infiltrates our schools, infiltrates our homes, infiltrates our jobs, infiltrates our churches. We got to do something. We got to stand up. We got to rise up. Is anybody with me in this? Amen. If you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You got to believe that we together can defeat Satan. We can defeat him. We don't have to let him keep winning. But he's winning. You know why? Because we're not willing to fight. We give up. We throw in the towel. Man, I'm going to tell you what. If I had to give up in my life when things got tough, I wouldn't be where I am today. I can tell you that. I don't think any of you in here would be where you are today if you just thrown in the towel every time you faced adversity in your life. Every time something bad came along, if you just said, oh, well, guess it wasn't God's will. You know, we use that excuse a lot of times, don't we, Brother Tim? We use that excuse a lot of times, don't we? Well, that just wasn't God's will. That's why this happened. That is baloney right there. Now, I agree. Sometimes we are not in God's will and he moves us away. But to use that excuse every time something negative happens in our life. What if God's sending us a trial? What if God's testing us? What if God's trying to grow us? And we just simply say, oh, well, it wasn't God's will. I'll just quit doing that. Guys, we're missing out on blessings. We're missing out on God's will in our life. Don't ever use that excuse. Don't use that excuse. While his men were sleeping. Let's look at that phrase in the scripture there. Guys, that refers to the unwatchful condition which soon developed among the Lord's people. Guys, there's too many of us sleeping right now. Too many of us sleeping. Some of you sleeping with your eyes open right now, amen? I don't mean that in a figurative sense. I mean it in a spiritual sense. You're sleeping with your eyes open. You're not going out. You're not doing anything for the kingdom. And we wonder why things are falling apart. We wonder why the family unit's deteriorating. We wonder why America is at one of the worst stages in its lifetime. It's because God's people are falling asleep. With their eyes open. We're letting things happen all around us. What are we doing? Oh, well, that's terrible. Yeah, it is. And until we decide we're going to stand up and do something about it, it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better, guys. Y'all understand that, right? This world's not going to get better. The only thing that's going to get better in this world is what we, as God's born-again children, decide to stand up and do. If we're willing to do it, we can help make this world better. If all we're going to do is sit down and just take things as they come, no. Sometimes God calls us to speak. Sometimes God calls us to defend his word. It doesn't mean to just hide it under a rock and get scared and cover it up. Because guess what? If God is for you, who can be against you? Amen. If he's for you, he's always going to be there. Now, if you're doing something outside of his will, you might as well walk off the end of the plank because you're not going to succeed. But if he's for you, you will not fail. You may have trials that come your way. You may have times in your life where you say, I'm just tired of this life. I can't take it anymore. Yes, you can. You know why? Because Jesus took it for you. Amen. You can take it. Amen. Don't you give up. If I could do a cheer and fly off here, I would right now. Amen. I'm ready to just lead us in a cheer. Amen. But guys, I ain't going to do that right now because I feel a vein pulsating in my forehead right now. Amen. I'm afraid if I did that any louder, something bad might happen. And I don't see Jeff here today, so I'm going to hold back a little bit this week. Joe's here. Would you help me, Joe? Amen. But guys, listen to me. Man, we got to get on board with this thing. We got to get on board with this thing. The tares are coming up all around us. They're entangling us. They're pulling us down. And we're just sitting there saying, oh, this is a terrible thing. It's a terrible situation. The world is going to hell. Well, it is. You know why? Because we're letting it. It's not because God wants that. It's not his will that anyone should perish, but that all should come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Amen? Amen? That's what his will is. It's not that anybody should perish. Guys, the presence of the tares among the wheat was evidenced at a very early date. His servants, the guy's servants here, recognized, hey, something ain't right here. But guess what? It wasn't that way in the very beginning. In the very beginning, they couldn't tell the difference. But it wasn't long before you could tell the difference, right? Is that the Lord? Oh, okay. I thought he was beeping me up right now, and I didn't notice anybody else going. I was just waiting to see if I was the only one still standing here. That would not be good, amen. We need that little bit of interlude right there. But guys, let me tell you something. Those servants recognized, it wasn't long before they recognized something ain't right here. Something ain't right here. This stuff's coming up in here and it doesn't, something ain't right. But when the devil first gets a foothold in your life, guess what? We may not be able to tell you from somebody else. But it won't be long. It won't be long before sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so start acting out of character. And it won't be long before sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so start doing things that are not godly things. Because that's the way it works. That's the way it works. When the devil starts, first of all, we can't really tell the difference, can we? You know, Satan's no originating genius. He's an imitator. He's a cheap imitation. No good. Worthless. Sorry. Now, this is the only person you have permission to talk to about that way in God's house. Amen. The devil is a piece of garbage. Amen. Now, we're not going to talk about sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so like that. Amen. Save that for the deacon's meeting. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. Amen. They'll get me tonight. We got one at 5. Amen. But guys, listen to me. That's not how it's supposed to be. We shouldn't allow Satan's imitations to rule us. You see, he produces counterfeits of the works of God. It's important to be aware of this so that the children of God can always be on guard. Guys, we got to be on guard. You got to be ready. Guys, you don't go to a battle, except for David, with a slingshot. Amen. You go armed to the hilt, right? You got to have on that helmet. You got to have on that breastplate. You got to have that word of God in your heart. That's the only way you're going to fight. That's the only way we're going to win. You see, guys, I want you to make note here that the enemy did not sow thorns or thistles. He sowed tares. And tares back in that day were believed to be a weed called darnel. It was a kind of weed that was hard to distinguish from wheat when it first came up. It looked very similar to it. If he'd have sowed thorns and thistles, that would have been obvious, right? Oh, my goodness, I got thorns coming up here. He sowed something that would be undetectable for a while to the point where it would have time to root around what God was trying to do and start destroying what God was trying to do. He didn't sow thorns and thistles because they would have been easily detected, right? It would be easy to detect them. Instead, he sowed tares or darnel that was very hard to distinguish from that developing wheat until the wheat got ready to bear fruit. That was the only way they could tell the difference, really. When the servants discovered what that enemy had done, they went back to their master and they said, "Hey, you want us to root out this darnel? You want us to root out these tares?" But the sower told them, "Don't do that because you're going to uproot the wheat as well." Guys, let me tell you something about the devil. When he puts down these tares in our life, when he puts these weeds in our life, this junk in our life, guess what happens? The roots grow around us. They tangle and intermingle around us, and they try to hold on to us and keep us planted in this position instead of allowing us to spread out and do what God wants us to do. Guys, I'm telling you, you can get those roots off of you, amen? And I ain't talking about calling the root doctor over in town, amen? I hear kids sometimes call me, "Oh man, coach, I think I got a root put on me." I was like, "What? Talking about somebody done put a spell on them." I was like, "You don't believe that, do you?" Like, "Oh yeah, I believe it." But anyhow, guys, I'm talking about the roots that Satan puts around us. We can pull away from that. How do you conquer weeds in the garden? You keep burying them, right? You keep tilling it. You keep covering it up with dirt. Guess what? Satan tries to come up in your life. You cover him up. You keep burying him. Guess what? He's going to come back out again. You know why some people's gardens don't look so good? Because they think all you got to do is till it one time. All you're doing is making them weeds mad, amen? They're going to come back with a vengeance the next time. But guess what? You keep covering, and you keep covering, and you keep covering, and finally you have a crop that produces 30 and 60 and 100-fold, just like we talked about in the parable of the sower, amen? So you keep covering up that devil in your life. You keep burying him away. You keep putting him away, and eventually he's going to disappear. He ain't going to disappear, but he will move away from you, and he'll go to somebody else and try to work on them for a while. Guys, you got to resist him. You got to keep going. The parable exposes Satan's method of operation. He seeks to imitate God's testimony by introducing a clever imitation of the real thing. You see, this parable reveals that Satan works from within. Satan works from within. Guys, we got people showing up at our doorsteps, knocking on our doors, telling us that we ought to come be a part of their religion. They're even spouting out scripture to us. They're talking about God. They're mentioning Jesus. But they don't know Jesus than a man on the moon. And guess what? Some of us are listening. Some of us are inviting them in our homes. That's exactly what the devil wants. That's that imitation he's given you to try to pull you away from the real truth and have you listen to some kind of garbage that somebody's trying to tell you about this, that, and the other. And they're using God in it. They're using Jesus in it. They're using scripture in it. Let me tell you something. If you're a weak-willed person and a Mormon comes by your house or a Jehovah's Witness comes by your house, you're going to sit there and listen to them. And you're going to think, well, y'all do believe in God. Until those roots grow around you. Until those tares come around you and you really see what they're all about. And we'll talk about that at a different time and on a different day. But guys, I'm telling you what, the devil's also working in the pulpits across this land as well. Woo, that's a sad thing, isn't it? Well, preacher, how can you say preachers are preaching about? I didn't say they're preaching about the devil. They're preaching misleading things that are of the devil. You see, that's the difference right there. I don't believe any preacher in a supposed Christian believing church just stands up and starts praising the devil. But I believe they'll tell you things that are misleading. They'll water down the gospel. You know why? Because the Bible tells us that. It says in the end days there will be they will have a form of godliness, but they will deny the power thereof. Guys, we're in those days. Don't fool yourself. You say, well, preacher, they've been thinking that since Jesus got crucified. Yeah, but look at what all is happening now. Things like this weren't happening then, but they're happening now. They're happening now. There's a mingling of law and gospel, and multitudes are deceived by it. Multitudes of people are getting deceived by it. Satan's going to continue to bring forth an imitation of Christ. As long as people will listen, these people are going to keep knocking on their doors. You know what I like to do when I see them? I ask them a couple of simple questions real quick. I was like, you know what? I'm going to ask you something. And whether or not I talk to you anymore will be determined by what you say to the or what you give the answer to this question is. I say, first of all, do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God who was crucified on a cross, whose blood ran down that hill at Calvary, who covered my sins, who saved me from my sin, who was put in that tomb, and 3 days later he arose and is seated at the right hand of God right now? Is that what you believe? Well then, pardon my French, but get off my property. Amen. I don't have any more to say to you. Amen. Amen. I do it in a nice way in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But guys, I'm telling you, you got to test these spirits. The Bible says we're to test these spirits when they come up to us. We're to test them to see if they really are who they say they are. But we don't do that a lot of times, do we? I guarantee you, you start doing that, you'll see those visits quit your house. They'll put you on the no-visit list, amen? Don't go visit them, uh-uh. Woo, they'll have your ears burning, you go visit them. They'll put you on the no-visit list. Guys, Satan's going to continue to bring forth an imitation. In this parable, we're not told of any opposition or hindrances to the growth of the tares. No mention's made of ground too hard for the tares to penetrate. In this parable, there's no mention of rocky ground, of thorny ground, of seed sown along the path that the birds came and ate up. No, there's no mention of that. It's just that all of a sudden this stuff sprang up. That's the way Satan is. Man, it just comes right up in your life. You know why? Because you set yourself up for it. You cannot continue to hang around and dabble around in darkness and not expect that you're going to start getting entangled with it. Flee from it. Run toward the light. You know why? Because Jesus is light. Jesus is in the light. And when you're in the light with him, man, that devil can't touch you, amen? Woo, but we let him touch us sometimes, don't we? We let him touch us sometimes. There are no thorns, for they will thrive anywhere. There's no mention of birds eating the seeds. This darnel apparently will grow by itself, doesn't need any kind of special care. You ever notice how weeds, I come by sometimes like, how the heck did that weed come up there? I just looked at it. There's no way something should come up there. It'd be completely bare ground. All of a sudden, here's this weed sticking up out of it. That's just how the devil is. He doesn't need a fertile area for him to grow and produce more of his stuff in your life. All he needs is somewhere for that seed to fall. And as soon as it falls on you and you sit there and listen to it and you sit there and think about it, guess what? The roots begin to penetrate down in your life. And before you know it, they've got you. They've got you. The enemy's success is plainly implied by the attention given to the tares. It's the tares and not the wheat that dominates the larger portion of that field. You know how we know that? By mention of the bundles. The scripture says, and all of these tares were bundled together. Guys, guess what that tells me? That at the end of time, as we know it, when Jesus comes back to take his children home, there's going to be way more tares than there is wheat. That's unfortunate, but that's the way it's going to be. To the point where they're going to have to be bundled to be cast out into the fire. There's so many of them, we can't just scoop them all up at one time. They're going to have to be grouped and gathered. Guess what? This world's already bundling itself. Look at what's happening around us. We're going to talk about that in just a second. Many people have questioned, why did God permit his enemies to sow these tares? Guys, there's a logical explanation to this. All we need to do is examine how the leaders of this world in Jesus' day acted toward him. There's the reason why this is allowed to happen. They wanted Barabbas, a known murderer, released instead of Jesus. What does that tell you? These are the supposed religious leaders of that day. They wanted a murderer released. And as a result of this, both the Jews and the Gentiles have reaped what they sowed. Guys, you know what goes right along with this parable? Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Let me repeat it for you. Be not deceived. God shall not be mocked. Whew, I get excited when I think about that. You know why? Because we got a lot of people mocking God. We got a lot of people deceiving God into trying to make people think they're somebody they're not. Well, I'm telling you what, unless the blood of Christ is on you and the Holy Spirit of God's living in your heart, you're not who you think you are, amen? You got to get that right before it's too late. I'm getting real paranoid about this thing. Because, man, I hear about all these killings and wars and rumors of wars. And this is the end times, folks. This is scriptural. Hey, there may not be a tomorrow. Think of all the young people in just the last month that have been killed in car wrecks, never having another chance to know Jesus. I hope and pray they did. People dying all around us, dropping dead with heart attacks on their way to work, at home. I hope they knew Jesus. Because there is no more time. Some people think you got all the time in the world. No, you got only the amount of time God's going to give you for your life. And we don't know what that is. Would it even make a difference if people knew exactly how long they had to live? I don't think so. Because people live like it doesn't, do they? They live like it doesn't. Let's move on here. By rejecting the Savior, Satan's ruled over them ever since and is going to continue till the end of the age. It's not going to get any better, guys. Satan's going to continue to rule. He's going to continue to pull down people as much as he can. The end of the age refers to the end of the earth when Jesus is going to send out his reapers, who are those angels. Amen. They're going to have those sickles in their hand and they're going to come down through that wheat field. They're going to chop that wheat down, and guess what? They're chopping the tares down with it. But before they sort that out, they're going to get those tares and they're going to move them over to the side. The tares or non-believers are going to be gathered up and bundled and burned, but the wheat will be put into his barn. Amen. Woo, if you like that, say amen. Amen. I'm glad that I'm going to end up in Jesus' barn one day, not over there in the fire pit. Amen. But guys, I can't say that about everybody. I don't know that about everybody. But I know this. You will not be able to say if you attended Bethesda Baptist Church when you're facing Jesus at one of two judgments, you will never be able to say, I didn't know about you, Jesus. I didn't know about heaven and hell. Because I'm going to tell you about it, amen? Amen. You're going to get the truth and you're going to have to make a decision of your own. But I'm going to tell you about it. Why? Because I'm under conviction. I'm a preacher of the word. I'm going to be held more accountable than you will. Because I come in contact with people who I'm trying to shepherd and who I'm trying to spread the word to. I'm going to be held more accountable. This is further proof, guys, that the saints will be removed from the earth prior to God's judgment. Guys, there's proof right there in that scripture. Before God rains his great tribulation judgment on this earth, I'm talking about the last half of that tribulation now, we're not going to be here, praise God. We're not going to have to face all the sores people breaking out in and all the temperature rise and all of these plagues and things. We're going to be gone. That's part of our reward. That's part of why when it seems like you just can't keep going, you keep going anyway. You know why? Because you got a reward at the end of the tunnel. And that reward is Jesus, amen? And he's there for you if you accept him and call on his name. All one has to do is look around us and see there appears to be a great unification process going on in this world. The breaking down of class distinctions and social barriers which have existed for years are just being wiped out. Why? We need to all be one big happy family here. No, we don't. No, we're not. We're not one big happy family. You got the wheat and you got the tares. Which side are you familyizing? Is that a word? I don't know. Which side are you joining in with? Amen. Which side are you on? We don't have to all be there in the same fix. We choose to be that way sometimes. Guys, movements are being made to unify currency, to unify religions, to unify everything and other things. Guys, that is definitely scriptural. There will be a one world system of government that will be in place when Antichrist is announced to the world. Guess what? They've been trying to do that sort of thing over the last 15 or 20 years. They've been trying to unify the currency where we have one currency worldwide. Guys, there's a lot of things we need to be looking at. These companies trying to convince you to place chips under your skin in your hand to identify you with information. That's a tool of the devil. You're just like, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not. What better way for Antichrist to be able to track you? Because see, he can't read minds. The devil cannot read your mind, but he can sure as heck read a GPS, amen? He'll know exactly where you are, and he'll be able to hunt you down. Tell you what, he comes up to my hill, he's going to have a fight on his hand, amen? I'm armed to the hilt and ready to go, baby. Woo! Amen. Amen. You've been in a battle with the devil. Amen. Guys, the movement is essentially to bundle together these things, which in the end will result in destruction of unbelieving man. I just ask you this question as I close today, guys. Where do you fit in this parable? Are you the wheat or are you part of the tares? You say, well, preacher, I'm not sure. Guys, if you're not sure, you're probably in the tares right now. You know if you're a born-again believer in Christ. How do I know, preacher? You show that fruit of the Spirit that the gospel talks about in the book of Galatians chapter 5. You are kind. You are good. You are peaceful. You are long-suffering. You don't hold record of wrongs. You are forgiving. That's how you know that you're a born-again believer. If you have problems with these areas, or you just don't feel comfortable in these areas, or you just don't live in these areas, probably a chance you're in the tares right now. But guess what? It doesn't have to be that way. Amen. We serve a God who loves you. We serve a Savior who loves you. And don't use the excuse, well, preacher, I've done too many terrible things. God would never forgive me. Let me tell you something. There's only one thing you'll never be forgiven for, and that is rejecting Jesus as your Savior. Amen. That's the only thing that you will never be able to be forgiven for. If you go to your grave not knowing Jesus as your Savior. You can be forgiven for the vilest thing you've ever done. You can be forgiven for the vilest thing you've ever thought. You can be forgiven for the vilest thing you've ever said. But you will not be forgiven for rejecting the name of Jesus. We serve a loving God, but we serve a vengeful God too. And he's coming back for his children. Where are you going to be when he comes? Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for the songs we've had today. What beautiful songs they were. Lord, I tried to deliver this message as best I could. I hope and pray it fell on listening ears. I hope and pray you challenged hearts and minds today. I know you challenged me. And God, I'm just praying for great things to happen here at Bethesda Baptist Church and churches all around this area and all around this country. I'm praying that we'll get on fire for you, Lord, that we won't accept the devil trying to sow his tares around us, and we won't accept these tares coming up around us and just sit there and let them overtake us, I pray, God, we'll dig our heels in and we'll fight and resist the devil with all we got. Lord, you told us you'll help us. You told us he'll flee if we resist him. How do we resist him? We trust you and we love you and we turn it over to you. God, I pray if somebody needs to come up here to this altar and get some things right today, I pray they'll come right here and pray at this altar right now in just a minute. They may need to lay something down here that's been a tear in their life. There's no time like the present. They may need to come down here and accept you as their Savior once and for all, so that they know they're guaranteed that place in the Lamb's Book of Life. Whatever the situation, God, this altar's open. We just give you the praise. We thank you for letting us come and freely worship in a country where we don't have to fear that. And Lord, I just give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing, Brother Dennis? Hymn number 434. Let's stand and sing. The altar, as always, is open if you need to come.